Welcome back to This Green Earth, weekly talk show on environmental issues and concepts of sustainability. I'm Chris Cherniak.
I'm Nell Larson.
And joining us in studio is Jennifer Gardner. Jennifer is a Park City resident and homeowner, and she's here to talk about her process of designing and building a very environmentally mindful home. I'm dropping the term green.
Yeah. It's been used too much. It's been overused. Yeah, exactly.
To get that very environmentally conscious home, and how that process worked and the materials she used, and we're going to get into all of that. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Jennifer.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, let's start. What was kind of the initial desire to want to build a home like this?
Well, I have to backtrack a little bit to say that for 7 years, we lived in a townhome that was from 1980, and every little thing I wanted to do to make it more sustainable was negated by the HOA. You can only do so much. Right. I realize that. And I was even president for one period of time. That was ironic. My husband absolutely did not want to build a home. So for a year, we went out with our realtor, and we looked at homes and in Park Meadows. And things were either too big here in Utah, or too small and too old, and just as old as our townhome, or older and poorly built. And so all we would talk about is what we'd have to do to these homes to make it for us. We wanted a 3,000-square-foot home. We're two people and a dog. That's it. So that was the impetus, is where we were at and what we wanted, and we couldn't find what we wanted, and lo and behold, we ended up unbelievably buying a lot on this awesome street that we had walked our dog on since he was a puppy. For sale sign came up, my husband called immediately, and I was really proud that he saw the sign and he made the call. After refusing to build a house.
Okay,
so that was the impetus.
So you got a piece of land.
Yeah.
And you have a vision.
Boy, was I stupid. I had no idea how hard it was going to be.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So the first thing I guess you had to do was hire an architect.
Correct.
So how did that
go? We immediately interviewed about six architects and six contractors, and we got referrals from our realtor because that's what they're so great at. And just, you know, driving around and living here, we had seen signs, and you ask for referrals or you just see things you like. You go through the parade of home, and I had collected names, honestly, because I love the parade of homes and open houses. And so just interviewed them and talked to them on site. They all came on site. And they walked it.
Interesting.
Yes.
That's important.
It was awesome.
To see the property.
Yeah, okay. Because you have to learn about where you site the house.
Right.
And we told them approximately what we wanted, and they talked a little about their process, and we quickly narrowed it down to two architects, but then we really narrowed it down to one who completely spoke the language that we wanted and was so experienced and versed. His name is Bill Mammon. He's been here for like 40 years. Mm. You know, he's on his way to retirement. He lives a mile from my house. Mm. And Bill Mammon specialized in passive solar design. And then the contractors, I interviewed just about as many. And the one I chose was Garrett Strong of Tall Pines Construction. And I had seen his awesome LEED Platinum home in a parade of homes. And I had never, when I saw that home, thought, I'm building a house someday. I never thought that. But I kept his card, and I thought, if I ever had the opportunity to build a home, I want to use Tall Pines Construction. And they work together.
Okay, that was another critical thing.
Not always, but often. So they like totally speak each other's language.
Right.
And anything I asked for, like I said, I want to collect all my rain and snow melt on the roof in an underground cistern. And five out of the six contractors were glazed over and their mouths went slack. They had no idea what I was talking about, or they thought it was crazy. And Garrett was like, yeah, I've done that several times, no problem.
Okay, so you triangulate a layer of communication and vision between yourself, the architect, and the contractor, and the builder here. All right, so what what did you lay out as what were you looking for in the home?
I wanted active solar and passive solar. I wanted really amazing insulation, and I didn't even know exactly what that meant. But sure. I knew I wanted great insulation and great windows, and I wanted as many sustainable products as possible, ideally made in the USA. So I laid that out, and then you work with the architect solely for a long period of time.
Okay. Like, how long?
It was painful, I have to say.
All right.
It was over a year, and it was 18 months from the month we bought the lot to the month excavation started.
Okay.
Wow. A year and a half. Months.
But that was partly city permit and weather and just stuff. Right. HOA approval and changing things for the HOA.
But your education.
I was just going to say, I have to imagine it's a little bit different if you had just kind of wanted a cookie cutter home, picked a design that could have been a lot faster.
Or you could actually pick a place that comes with plans.
Right.
Like there's a lot for sale in my HOA that already the plans have been approved.
Right.
Yeah, but I didn't do that and I didn't know that. And I've learned a lot and I'm still obviously extremely happy that I did what I did. I just had no idea it was going to take that long.
Okay.
Absolutely. I was an uneducated first-time home builder.
Well, okay.
So I'm here to share my knowledge.
Exactly. Part of that learning curve, and now you can share some of this here. So what kind of materials did you use that maybe were a little uncommon?
Right.
Not typical.
One of the things I actually used is something I absolutely hate and would love banned, is styrofoam. I did not come up with this idea, but my whole house outside the wood is wrapped in 4 inches of styrofoam everywhere. And the roof, I believe, maybe even 7. And it's thick panels. And so it's an insulation that's cheap. It's not going anywhere. It's certainly not going to the landfill. And it's like my home has a puffy jacket on it.
Yeah.
And it keeps the house at an even temperature. And then on the outside, I have stucco, stone, and steel. So that's my Gore-Tex layer, which is also fairly fireproof, if I might use that term. And I really wanted fire-resistant materials because I back up to Round Valley in open space where there could be a fire. So my stone is within 100 miles of here, so it's super sustainable. The steel I used is recycled, and it became that amazing Core-10 rusted steel look.
Right.
The stucco, I honestly don't know where it is from. But those are a few materials on the outside. There's a lot of materials on the inside that came after, the architect did his thing.
And then you say passive solar, active solar meaning panels.
Uh-huh.
What was passive solar
about? Passive solar is a whole building technique that I did not know anything about.
Okay.
Thus, I chose a professional. And my house faced exactly south. And that was either good luck or we like that side of the street.
Right.
But we like that side of the street. It also means that our driveway could be very short and our snow melts really quickly off our driveway. But Bill Mammon, the architect, designed all the windows to capture sun and heat the house during the day. But I have roof overhang that during the heat of the summer, it also keeps the house cool. And we designed the window placements in terms of the ones that you open. So at night in the summer, when the sun goes down, you open certain windows and there's like this chimney effect where the hot air rises and the cold air drops.
Mm.
Again, okay. I didn't know anything about that, but it works like a charm.
It does.
So we have room air conditioners that are high efficiency by Mitsubishi, I believe.
Mm.
And we try extremely hard not to use our air conditioning.
Right. It being south facing, you do get a lot of sun in the summer, so it can be warm. But conversely, in the winter, you get a lot of natural heating from the low sun
comes right in.
Right. So all right. So that's the passive aspects of it.
And it's been around for decades.
Yeah.
Absolutely decades.
Right.
Way longer than solar panels.
You're not inventing a new wheel here.
Right.
It's been out there. So that is the materials you use. How about internally, let's say electricity and the natural gas system?
So our house is heated by radiant gas. So that's under the ground. We have a really high efficiency furnace in our garage, our boiler room. We have nine Nest thermostats. that was a discussion. They're expensive. We have nine zones. So, like, we have a home office. I have an art studio in my home.
Right.
The whole second floor, we have a guest room. Those are on echo almost year-round. If we have a guest, obviously, we turn on the heat in the guest room. Otherwise, it's like 54 degrees.
Right.
So you really, it's actually super efficient, even though you have to have an upfront cost.
Right. Okay.
So, and our driveway and our front walkway to our front door is radiant heat on a separate zone, and we keep that off. And if there's a major storm, we turn it on. We turn on a timer. We try to have it on as little as possible so that our gas bill is not crazy.
Sure. Okay.
But electricity-wise, we're net zero.
Yeah. So
$9.12 a month.
$9.12.
Love that.
And that's because
20 panels. Yeah. Our architect figured with our energy-efficient appliances, our lights are all LED. The house has lots of windows, so you don't have to turn the lights on.
Right.
I mean,
during the day.
Yeah. So we're net zero. So 20 worked beautifully, and they're all on the south-facing slope. So they designed the roof to the exact angle that would maximize the solar panels. And the roof is called a virgin roof. Anything that needs to pierce the roof, all the vents, are on the back side. So the side that faces south is a completely like a blank chalkboard or canvas.
Right.
So only panels are on this south-facing roof. And that's designed so far ahead of time.
Right. Okay.
So brilliant.
So you have these incredibly low energy costs now. What are the costs of, you know, building the home? Were they higher on the front end than you might call a conventional home?
So just to talk about the panels, I got in on the 2016 bulk solar panel project with I don't know if it was Utah Clean Energy or Summit Community Power Works then, but I used Alpenglow, and so I got a good deal. But one of the goals of the whole process was economical when given a choice. Like, I would look at countertops, for example, and I necessarily had a budget, but I didn't have an unlimited pocket. We wanted to build a home for a certain amount of price. And so we pretty much did that. Of course, yes, we went over in time and money. But whenever I had a choice, I would look at, was it sustainably built? Was it built in the USA?
Right.
Low to no maintenance material and economical. Those were my four things. So I really wanted things to be economical. And sometimes recycling content is cheaper. And I have two huge, gorgeous slabs of recycled glass countertops by Vertrazzo. And I just happened to go to Contempo Slab in Salt Lake City to look at other things. And I saw this, and I'd seen it before in homes, often by Tall Pines Construction, and it's really remarkable. And I used to be on the board of Recycle Utah, and I'm really into recycling.
Right.
And so one was half off because it was being discontinued, and one was a third off. And I immediately put down like a deposit, and they held it for like 6 months for me. I didn't even, like, I'm getting these.
Right.
So you can try to shop a little bit for things. And, you know, I did not get Wolf appliances and Sub-Zero.
Uh-huh.
Right. I assume those are what, high-end?
So high-end. I want medium.
Not familiar. Okay.
So medium end. Okay. I like
medium
it.
Medium end.
Okay. And talk a little bit about the landscaping that you did and why that is also important in building an environmentally mindful home.
My landscaping, I'm a master gardener with Utah State University. I went through that program here, and my sister is a landscape architect in California, so I would pick the plants, and she did the design because she doesn't know anything about Utah plants. I chose things were obviously in our zone, which is zone 4.
Right.
Ideally native, which are going to be drought tolerant plants.
Right.
I chose firewise plants, and I chose ideally things that are pollinators because I like to attract hummingbirds and bees.
Sure.
So all those things, I actually synthesized a list of 12 that I gave a talk just last Sunday to Summit Community Gardens, and I'd be happy to send that list out if people want to get my email address of the top 12 that are all those things.
Yeah.
So it's very important to have trout and, or they're calling it now water-wise plants,
right,
because water is so expensive in Utah. You want to save water. I'm watering with my cistern that's collected all the water and all the snow. However, I'm sure, not necessarily this summer as it's going, but in a typical summer, by August, I'll probably be out of water and I'll be using Park City Culinary Water.
Sure. How big is the cistern?
It's the maximum allowed in the state of Utah. So I think that's 2,000.
Wow. Okay. So, all right. So you're collecting that, using the water. And we just have a couple minutes. I wanted to get to, oh, well, you saying that this home is.
I have two things I want to talk about.
All right. We'll get but I want to mention the fact that you are attempting to have this home certified as LEED Platinum.
Yeah. So we haven't completed it because we have not completed the backyard, believe
okay.
it or not. The landscape and some of the hardscape.
And what has to be done there?
Well, we have a metal wall that we have to move, and it's recycled metal.
Okay.
And we need to do some planting. And we did the front and the sides last summer and
right.
just ran out of, you know, the temperature, honestly. It got
right.
to be October. You just don't plant. I mean, you can, but again, economy. I want my plants to live.
Right.
So I am definitely gold.
Okay.
And I'm so close to platinum. I really hope I get it.
Okay. So that you're going through that process.
So I just wanted to share quickly. We just got a comment from a listener from Erin Bragg, who says wonderful things about you, first and foremost. And then she just wanted to let everybody know that there is going to be another
yes.
bulk solar happening
yes.
again this summer. So
nice.
As
stay
you mentioned
tuned.
That, stay tuned. It'll be through Summit Community Power Works.
Right.
Good. Thank you, Erin.
Yes, thanks, Erin.
And another reason I wanted to do Firewise Landscaping is I'm in the Park City Leadership class. And our project, which I proposed, was educating the public on creating defensible space, trying to harden their home, and plant Firewise Landscaping so that they could have their home as strong as possible to have it survive if there's a fire.
Right.
Because we're all in the wildland urban inner space. We're
right.
all surrounded by these mountains and beautiful trees.
Good.
And it's not when, if there's going to be a fire, it's when.
When, okay.
So Firewise Landscaping is a smart thing to do. And
all right, so
yeah.
other things you wanted to chat?
Yes. So Recycle Utah, which I just heard, Carolyn.
That's right.
Uncorked. I still, even though I'm not on the board, I'm very involved and do lots of volunteering. And I am an artist, and one of the things I do is upcycling. I love upcycling art. So I've been collecting glass bottles at the recycling center, cleaning them immaculately, and I've upcycled them into tabletop art pieces. Mm. I put mini LED lights strings in them, and it's controlled, battery controlled in a cork.
Mm.
And then I write, I etch in the glass words, and they're going to be customized. So I have all the colors that glass can be recycled, already done and ready to go. I'm going to be selling them for $10 at Uncorked, and the ones with words or the ones that can be personalized are $20.
All right, and the proceeds go to?
Oh, it's not going to me. I'm
right.
doing
sure.
Yeah, like thank you for saying that. My goal
thing.
Is to raise $1,000 this year for Recycle Utah.
Oh, that's fantastic!
And awesome.
I'm a third of the way there because I did already one of their fundraisers.
Nice.
I did
fantastic.
Earth Day.
All right.
So thank you for
we'll
letting me plug
that. We'll see you on
Uncork. Of course.
Last thing, email address if people do want to
yeah.
get in touch with you.
Yeah, so I have several ways to contact me. I wrote them all down. One is my Instagram, which is Sustainable Skier.
Okay.
My email is J for Jennifer Gardner, GardnerPC@gmail.com.
Gmail, okay.
Or our Facebook page for Park City Leadership, Park City Leadership on Facebook.
Okay. So anyway,
actually, it's Leadership Park City Class 25. Leadership Park City Class 25.
All right. To learn more about all that and yep. your work, thank you so much for sharing all
oh,
this information.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to talk with people individually
I
and
bet you
brainstorm
are.
And help them.
You're the expert.
It seems
now.
Like a daunting project to take it on without
yeah, so
that kind
why
of
not
guidance.
Share it?
So fantastic.
Why not share it?
Thanks to you for doing that.
Thank you
Thanks,
for having
Jennifer.
Me.
Let's take